Ligur. "Whatever it is, they'd better think of it quickly," said Hastur. "No, not A.J. Crowley, your real name." Crowley nodded mournfully and drew a complex, wiggly sigil on the paper. It glowed redly in the gloom just for a moment and then faded. "What am I supposed to do with it?" he said.
"You will receive instructions," Hastur scowled. "Why so worried, Crowley? The moment we have been working for all these centuries is at hand."
"Yeah, right," said Crowley. He did not look, now, like the lithe figure that had sprung so lithely from the Bentley a few minutes ago. He had a hunted expression.
"A moment of eternal triumph awaits."
"Eternal, yeah," said Crowley.
"And you will be a tool of that glorious destiny."
"Tool, yeah," muttered Crowley. He picked up the basket as if it might explode, which, in a manner of speaking, it would shortly do.
Okay, he said. "I'll be off then, shall I? Get it over with? Not that I want to get it over with," he added hurriedly, aware of the things that could happen if Hastur turned in an unfavourable report. "But you know me. Keen." The senior demons did not speak. "So I'll be popping along," Crowley babbled. "See you guys. See you. Great. Fine. Ciao."
As the Bentley skidded off into the darkness, Ligur said,
"What's that mean?" "It's Italian," said Hastur. "I think it means food."
"Funny thing to say, then?"
Ligur stared at the retreating taillights.
"You trust him?" he said.
"No," said Hastur.
"Right," said Ligur.
It'd be a funny old world, he reflected, if demons went around trusting one another. Crowley, somewhere west of Amersham, hurtled through the night, snatched a tape at random and tried to wrestle it out of its brittle plastic box while staying on the road. The glare of a headlight proclaimed it to be Vivaldi's Four Seasons. Soothing music, that's what he needed. He rammed it into the Blaupunkt.
"Shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit! Why now? Why me?" he muttered, as the familiar strains of Queen washed over him. And suddenly, Freddie Mercury was speaking to him.
"Because you've earned it, Crowley."
Crowley blessed under his breath. Using electronics as a means of communication had been his idea, and Below had, for once, taken it up, and, as usual, got it dead wrong. He'd hoped they could be persuaded to subscribe to Cellnet, but instead they just cut in to whatever it happened to be that he was listening to at the time and twisted it. Crowley gulped.
Thank you very much, Lord, he said.
"We have great faith in you, Crowley."
"Thank you, Lord."
"This is important, Crowley."
"I know, I know."
"This is a big one, Crowley."
"Leave it to me, Lord."
"That is what we are doing, Crowley. And if it goes wrong, then those involved will suffer greatly. Even you, Crowley. Especially you."
"Understood, Lord."
"Here are your instructions, Crowley."
And suddenly he knew. He hated that. They could just as easily have told him. They didn't suddenly have to drop chilly knowledge straight into his brain. He had to drive to a certain hospital.
"I'll be there in 5 minutes, Lord, no problem."
"Good."
"I see a little silhouette of a man. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?"
Crowley thumped the wheel. Everything had been going so well. He'd had it really under his thumb these few centuries. That's how it goes. You think you're on top of the world, and suddenly they spring Armageddon on you. The Great War, the last battle, heaven versus hell, 3 rounds, 1 fall, no submission. And that'd be that. No more world. That's what the end of the world meant. No more world. Just endless heaven, or, depending on who won, endless hell. Crowley didn't know which was worse. Well, hell was worse, of course, by definition, but Crowley remembered what heaven was like. And it had quite a few things in common with hell. You couldn't get a decent drink in either of them, for a start. And the boredom you got in heaven was almost as bad as the excitement you got in hell. But there was no getting out of it. You couldn't be a demon and have free will. "I will not let you go. Let him go." Well, at least it wouldn't be this year. He'd have time to do things, unload long-term stocks for a start. He wondered what would happen if he just stopped the car here on this dark and damp and empty road and took the basket and swung it round and round and let it go, and something dreadful, that's what. He'd been an angel once. He hadn't meant to fall. He'd just hung around with the wrong people. The Bentley plunged on through the darkness, its fuel gauge pointing to zero. It had pointed